Okay, let's see if we can get this done today. Kuf Lamed Zayin, ongoing discussion about Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, how that interfaces with Kabbalah's Mitzvahs. Let's try and tie some loose ends together here so we can move on. So first there has to be a Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, and without a Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, you can't really have a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. That's what we came to the conclusion yesterday. Paragraph 3 on Kuf Lamed Zayin. Hashem is Baruch Reitze Shenev Oto B'Kol Libeinu. Hashem wants us to love Him with all our Libeinu, whatever that is. B'Kol Nafsheinu U'B'Kol Mo'oideinu. That's what we say in Shema every morning, no? B'Kol Levavcha, B'Kol Nafshecha, B'Kol Mo'oidecha. And he wants that love to grow and develop b'libeinu, wherever that is, until we will be prepared b'simcha to give up our last word. He wants us to love Him with all our mo'odeinu, dahainu, b'kol mida u'mida shehu mo'ided lanu. With every measure that He measures, with every challenge, test, difficulty that He gives us, He wants us to love Him. Shenismach b'kol matzav she'ovar aleinu. You hear the difficulty here, obviously. Shenismach b'kol matzav she'ovar aleinu. You have to be happy with everything that's happening. Okay, that's a tall order. That's not something you're going to, well, oh, now I've got it. Yeah, now I'm happy. No, that's going to take some real serious work. Obviously, someone who's internalized and living with that won't have a problem with this. So the work is to try and come to terms and understand and internalize. Who said that? Nochem Ishganzu said, Gamzu the Tova, which is not the same as Koma David Rahman at the top of it. This is a lower level. Nochem Ishganzu was a higher level. I'll explain now what I mean. But Koma Asimishmai mitoch Ava Atsuma Klapainu. Everything that's happening is coming from Shemai because of a love, a big love that Hashem has for us. Okay, that's the definition. That's the genetic core of our lives. Living with it's not so possible. You at least have to know what the truth is. And then we'll see how we go about doing this. But first we need to internalize Kolma da Ovid Rachmona Letovav. What Hashem does, even though right now it doesn't look that great, ultimately we'll see that it's for the good. Kolma da Ovid Rachmona Letovav. How's that different to Gamzu da Tova? Gamzu da Tova is I don't even see the bad. Rabbi Akiva has a look and sees his donkey's just been eaten by a leopard or something. And that's terrible, but that's from Hashem, so it must be for the good. Nochem Ish Gomzu doesn't see the bad. He just sees this is also good.
That's good.
Partly if the leopard has lunch or not. Means it's good for me. The Rabzusha, you know the famous Maisa, but the Rabzusha, one of the Hasidim, asked the Baal Shem Tov how someone can have suffering and still be with Simcha. Can you live a life of suffering and still be with Simcha? So he sent him off to the Reb Zusha. I'm allowed to tell Hasidic stories here, even though I'm in Eish Kodesh, I'm allowed to tell Hasidic stories. So he sent him off to Reb Zusha to ask him, how do you live with Simcha in the face of extreme suffering? So he gets there and he finds this little hovel. He asks, where's the Reb Zusha? There's a little hovel, a bunch of kids running around looking malnutrition. Terrible poverty, extreme poverty. Anyway, knocks on the door. Guy comes to the door. He says, are you the Reb Zusha? He says, yeah, I'm the Reb Zusha. He says, the Baal Shem Tov sent me to you. The Baal Shem Tov sent you to me. It can't be. It must be a mistake. He said, no. The Baal Shem Tov sent me to you to explain to me how a person can live with extreme suffering. Yeah? And the Reb Zusha says, oh, for now, sure, you made a mistake. I've never suffered anything in my life before. That's Gamzu L'Toyva. We don't live there. Don't try and go there. You can yearn for that, like we learned before. The aspirations, I would love to be there. But don't think that you're there because you're not. I'll kick your ankle and you'll see you're not holding there. It's very easy to prove that you're not holding there.
Come to the table.
Go outside and see you have a flat tire and you're late for a meeting that you really want to get to. And you'll realize where you're holding in gums in a table. People say it all the time. Yeah, people say a lot of things all the time, and people do a lot of things all the time, but they don't think a lot all the time.
Should be saying
this is our more relevant to us. No, I can want to get there. And maybe saying it will help me internalize it. I don't know. But don't think you're holding there. That's all I'm saying. We're not even holding Makomad over Rahman at the top of it. We're trying to get there. That's really a kiva. We're trying to get there, but we're not there either. I'll prove it to you if you want. It'll hurt a bit, but you'll see that it's not a portion that you're holding. Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, Hashem, that was great. Ah, thanks for the ear. No, it requires work. We're not there. Okay. This is the dog of the Tanoim. Let's not pretend things we're not. But we have to find a way to live with this. We can't just step back and say, oh, then I'm just going to be miserable the rest of my life because things aren't going the way I want them to. We have to find a way to live with this. That's why we're here. I'm not saying knock it off. I'm just saying don't think you're there. In certain areas, you may be there already. We've done some work on ourselves here. There may be certain areas where you can say, call my name, Rahman, at the top of it. You've had plenty of experiences in your life that you thought were terrible and then turned out to be very good. You have a track record that's happened to you at least once in your life. Where you saw something that you thought happening was bad and then you realized it was the best thing that could happen to you. That flat tire was the best thing could have happened to you because you weren't there when the bridge collapsed. Well, maybe I'm being too dramatic, but everyone's had something like that happen in their lives. And if they haven't noticed it, it's time to start noticing. Okay. L'chein, kashanu magishim erachoykim v'nazofim imen yisparach. Therefore, when we feel distance from Hashem, we feel yichid. Anu mevatlim b'kach mitzvahs ase midaraisa shel avos Hashem b'kol rego. That's a big jump. When things are happening and you feel kind of, well, Hashem doesn't love me, whatever, you mevatlim mitzvahs ase midaraisa. Kepshuto. Im belibenu pnima kayemesh trunye o trarumois kol shehi al anogas Hashem klapeinu. We have tainis against Hashem. What Hashem's doing is not right. This is not this. That's not there. We have. We think Hashem hates us. And we're not desirable in front of Hashem. There's a lack here. There's a breach in the basic foundations of our Yiddishkeit. Yosod kolay Torah hu kesha avos shel boroi. That's the foundation of kulay Torah kulay. Avos Hashem. What's genuine love? Unconditional love. A love that comes out of a bechira that I choose to love you because I choose to love you, not because of what you do. You can't do anything to stop me loving you because it's got nothing to do with you. It's my decision. It's my bechira to love you. And therefore, we're unconditionally loved by Hashem and we want to love Hashem unconditionally. Memte Share Tuma. Probably from there, Hashem's not going to be that interested in me, correct? If I'm in Memte Share Tuma, you can't imagine for yourself what Memte Share Tuma looks like today. That's where you're holding. So for sure Hashem doesn't love me anymore, right? Wrong. When did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim to be an Am? When did he create us? What was programmed into the genetic core of our relationship with Hashem as he created Klal Yisrael? Mem te sharei tuma. That's when he took us. Huh?
Because Kadosh Baruch Hu.
What?
Gemara, they will say, because Kadosh Baruch Hu itin Torah b'tachtonim.
That's nice, but that takes away from what I'm trying to do now. That's a frum one. I'm trying to do it.
I'm just quoting what you're saying.
That was then. I never quoted it now. It has its place there. Lord Baruch. It's already... We'll see that he said on me. That's when Hashem took us. You know how off the derech we were? You know how far we were from reality? Mem Tesharei Tuma. I have no idea what Mem Tesharei Tuma looks Then for sure not. Today, I don't know. I don't want to use my imagination too much. And Hashem loves us. Unconditional love.
He knows that in the future.
No. Bashehu Sham. That as well. Aval Bashehu Sham. Sameach Bechelkoi is now. The love Hashem has for us is now, even if you'll never get out of Memte Sharei Tumah. Otherwise, it's conditional again on you're going to be good again. This is total unconditional. The Avos Hashem, the Kabbalos Ol Malchus Shemayim, has nothing to do with Kabbalos Ol Mitzvahs. Why did there have to be Kabbalos Ol Mitzvahs? Because if you love somebody, why wouldn't you do what they asked you to do? Obviously. I'm not about exist. No. The fact that Hashem says, I love you, that's how you know you love you. You may exist because he's trying to torture you, because he gets some kind of perverted kick. Our dysfunctional father, what art in heaven? That's what you may think. No, he tells you, I love you unconditionally. Ava Rabba Vatonu. He tells you, I love you unconditionally. You can work it out philosophically. It has to be that way, because since he can't get anything, therefore whatever he's giving must be for the person who's getting it and not for himself. Blah, 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 blah. But I'm saying there that he loves us unconditionally. Memte Sharei Tumah. That's when Hashem says, come, be my bride. Wow. And I'm walking around feeling like a bit, no, well, Hashem doesn't really love me, doesn't bear, and I'm such a low level, and well, how could anybody? Are you nuts? Memte Sharei Tumah. I spoke to a father once a while ago. His kid was, what they say, off the derech. Yeah? He was having a hard time with it. He was trying to beat the kid back into shape, which was wonderful. And he said, but look, he's not this and he's not that. And how am I supposed? I said, you're also off the derech. Because you're not perfect either. Horaya, I saw you doing this on Yom Kippur. And Hashem still loves you and still feeds you and clothes you and takes care of you and gives you a liver and a kidney and a heart that's functioning. So why are you trying to kick this kid out of the house just because he's not keeping Shabbos? Hashem loves him. Pariah, he loves you, and you don't exactly mayachuz either. And then I told him, when did Hashem take us out of his drive? Must be 9:42. It's a bit early today. Must be. When did Hashem take us out of his drive? Memte Sharei Tumah. Mama Yashulcha. That doesn't mean just sit back and kick off your feet and say, well, I don't have to keep the mitzvahs because Memte Sharei Tumah, I'm in good shape anyway. No, if you love somebody, then you're going to try and... if there's something lacking in your Kima mitzvah, it doesn't mean there's something lacking in your Kabbalah Somar Kishamayim. We said that. We separated those. But Mitzat Sheni, if you love somebody, why aren't you trying to do what they want you to do? If you or somebody do something to you, they get upset. We get upset when the plumber says, I'll be there too, and he doesn't come. That's just the plumber. I don't have a relationship with him. You asked him to do something and he didn't. You get upset. So if you love somebody, if someone loves you and they ask you to do something, you don't do it. So why should they get upset? Yesod kol ha-Torah hu kesha'av im boira oilom. The Loshon of the Rambam, it's to make shalom. In the Loshon of the Ramchal, it's that there should be haris ponim. All the same thing. Connection, me and Hashem. That's what shalom is. Shalom is when Hashem and I are shining on each other. Kana leinu lahav in inyan amok v'chashuv. Let's learn something here very deep and very important. The Parsha Ashniya Shel Kriya Shema, that's the Kabbalos Ol Mitzvahs, Vayim Shemaya, Lo Muska U'Bechol Mo'oy Dechem. You notice that the first Parsha of Kriya Shema is in the singular, and it mentions three Bechols. Lavavchem, Nafshachem, U'Mo'odechem. U'Mo'odechem, sorry. Three things in the singular. Leiv, Nefesh, and Bechol Midor Midor. In the second parsha, dealing with kabbalos or mitzvahs, first of all, it's in the plural, and it doesn't mention mo'adeichem, which is a glaring omission if you think about it. The kais afkum of forshim alinyan zeh, it's an old question. We never made it up now. We know. The fidakenu yisparish adova kedahala. We can explain it in our way like this. Chazal dal shol apostle v'chol mo'adeichem v'chol midah u'midah shu mo'edet l'cha v'mo'edet l'cha b'mo'ed mo'ed. We've seen this a few times, right? Mm-hmm. Like a play on words. And it's more than a play on words, but it's a play on words. What's b'chol mo'odecho? With every midah u'midah, with every measure that Hashem measures you, that means with every test, struggle, battle, whatever that Hashem gives you, have a mo'odeh lo, you should be mo'odeh, you should thank him, but mo'od, mo'od, very, very much. It's all the same word. You get the play on words? Okay. This level of b'chol mo'adecha, which we kind of brushed aside, because b'chol nafshecha sounds much more impressive. I'm going to give up my life for Hashem. Wow. What could be bigger than that? So I'll tell you what could be bigger than that. B'chol mo'adecha. He daga gavur b'yoysev yafilu yaseira al dagas b'chol nafshecha. It's even bigger than giving up your life. How so? Shekhein, hamavas balkidish Hashem uchad pami. If you give up your life for balkidish Hashem, you only get to do it once, and it's over. It's over. You died of balkidish Hashem, the Valdik. That moment was an extreme moment, but it's an extreme moment that's over. V'ilu achayim balkidish Hashem, kabolis yisurim ba'ava, to be makabal yisurim ba'ava, that you have to do all the time. Anyone can give up smoking for one day. Anyone can give up any addiction there for one day. Try to do that for the next 6 months. Day in, day out, not so posh. Giving an alpha skinish Hashem, I don't know what it means, but the sadder happens once you do it, you reach that extreme edge of a moment and you do it. Kabbalah's Yisurim Ba'ava is every second of the day. Dagazu Nalis V'Gavur U'Mishum Kach U'Muskeres Rak B'Pashas HaRishayna. It's only mentioned because it's so high and transcendent and elevated that it's only mentioned in the first Pasha Shabana Oiski B'Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim. There it's mentioned because we're dealing in the singular in my personal Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim. Adam kilo imelatzmo. Person says to himself, "Kilo, I'm number kabbalas all mitzvahs claim of a poyel, and then in the sugal of kaimon. Good, in the world of mitzvahs, in the world of peula, I'm not mayachuz. Yes, I do. I'm not. Kicheshkas ayesem astira by the. I'm very late for horror that confuses me, that moves me off the path, and whatever." That doesn't stop my kabbalas of malchus shemayim being b'shleimus. The pasha rishayne b'shifoisai. In pasha rishayne, where I'm developing my yearnings, my strivings, my perspective. And I'm a kabbal al atzmel malchus shemayim b'shleimus. I'm a kabbal malchus shemayim b'shleimus. Shamani v'kabbal the daitu b'sichli kol midu midu shakorosh b'ochum oedidli. Then the seichel, I'm a kabbal everything that Hashem does to me. Because I know it's for the good. And in the seichel, neck up, that's not so hard. To accept intellectually that it's all for the good is not so hard. But it's hard not to once you understand reality. That's the inner cheder yichud, that private place that you have with Hashem, where you're bound to Hashem with very thick ropes. Together with this, he's trapped by his Yetzer Hara. He can't wait to get rid of his Yetzer Hara. It's revealed and known in front of you, Hashem. Our deepest desire is to do your rotzon. Anybody here say, I don't want to do the rotzon Hashem? Put up your hand, have the courage, come on. Put up your hand and tell me, I really don't want to do the rotzon Hashem. Come on. But if you really want to want it, you just do it. As Nancy Reagan once said, just say no to your Yetzer. That was a big anti-drug campaign. She started on a genius thing that no one had ever thought about before. Just say no. And all the addicts went, wow, that's cool, man. Just say no, of course. So why are you still clapping off Chaitan Yom Kippur? Just say no. Every time a Yetzer comes along, just say no. You know that that's not so posh. But you really want to do the Rotzon Hashem. You don't really want to do the Aveira. You want to do the mitzvah. But what's the problem? Umi ma'akev. What's preventing me? Sol sheba issa v'shibud malchiyos. The yeast in the dough, in the Yetzer Hara, and shibud malchiyos, the torches and the whatever of the world, of the Ubisoilum of the Goy, which we'll come back to because it's not so posh today where exactly our problem is. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't allow ourselves to fall into hope, despair and lack of hope in order to get out of this problem in the world of Maisa. In the world of Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim Ani Beseder Gamor. But I'm not functioning so properly and I've become very despondent because of that. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to extinguish the fires that are burning inside of you, the yearnings, the aspirations. Because you're not doing so well. Because they're two separate sugyas, they're two pashas, and you get schar for each one separately, and that's our job. That's the theory. That's the theory. Questions, comments, reaction. It's a long parsha, it's a long paragraph, chapter. One has to do chazor on it, and one has to become just aware of it. I wouldn't even try and change anything, just become aware of how incorrectly we look at reality.
Independent idea.
The Western world says if you don't have $10 million by the time you're 32, you're a failure.
It's still 4 years.
We kind of say different. You can be a memte share tuma and still have avos Hashem. V'abotayach b'Hashem chesed yisobaveinu afilu rosh ha-gomor. Show me a bigger stira than that. Someone has betochen in Hashem chesed yisobaveinu. He's surrounded by Hashem's chesed afilu rosh ha-gomor. He's a rosh ha-gomor, but he has betochen. Hashem says, you're fine. You're a martyr. Do you want to prove it to you? Yeah, go. For the 342nd time. Some of you may never have heard. You heard of Menashe? You've heard of Menashe? Those of you who want to leave, I have no objection.
He was the guy
who was
lynched.
Yeah.
He was
what?
He was lynched.
Was lynched.
Lynched.
Cook. Oh, well, they didn't. They tried to, yeah. But before that happened, what did he say? What was Menashe? Menashe was probably one of the biggest Hashem that ever lived. Even after the tshuva, it's not possible that he never failed in the Lamaha. He was Ben Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech saw Baruch HaKodesh, B'Navur, whatever you want to say, that he was going to have a child like Menashe, so he stopped having children. Then the Navi came to him and said, you're going to get punished for that. You're going to die. It's not your job to... So that was Yeshaya HaNavi, who gave Chizkiyahu his daughter to marry. And from them came, that holy union, came Menashe. Menashe went about killing his grandfather Yeshaya HaNavi. The streets of Jerusalem flowed with blood. Menashe just killed his own Zayda. He happened to be Yeshaya HaNavi, so he wasn't exactly the best kid in the class. He worshipped every Avodah Zorah they were, and that's literal. He was the biggest Baal Avodah Zorah there was. But he was no fool. But anyway, he got captured by the king of Babel, and put into a big pot, and they were cooking him. I don't know what they were going to do with him once they cooked him. Sell him to the Africans. I don't know what the Babylonians weren't cannibals, were they? Anyway, that was how they tortured people to death. You boil him in a pot. Okay. And Manasseh starts crying out to all the Avodah Zarah that he worshipped. This one and that one and that one. And obviously, it's getting hotter and hotter. Until he says the following thing. Listen carefully. Hashem, I have a Masorah for my father. That even when the sword is on your neck, you should not give up hope. So I'm crying out to you, Hashem, to help you. Okay? Now listen to the chutzpah. Now if you help me and you save me, then you're Hashem. And if not, then you're just the same as all the other bodyguards. The Malachim are at rage, and they start shutting. The Twillers have to go through certain gateways. Whatever that means. They shut all the gateways and the Twiller can't get through. Hashem digs a tunnel around their backs and brings up the Twiller to the Kisar covered. A big wind blows Manasseh out of the pot and he lands up back in Yerushalayim. Hashem does a mess for him. That's the story. Now, I just have one question. Manasseh was no one's idiot. What was his taina to Hashem? It doesn't make any sense. You never worshipped Hashem, you abandoned Hashem, you did everything that Hashem wouldn't want you to do, and you worshipped every Avodah Zarah. So if the Avodah Zarahs don't help you, they have a problem, because you worship them. But why should Hashem help you? You didn't do anything for him. Well, why are you, what's the comparison? If you don't help me, you're just the same as them. What's his taina? His taina had to make sense. So this is what I heard from Rav Pinchas. Is that so? When Manasseh said to HaKadosh Baruch, if you don't help me, you know why you're not going to help me? Because I'm such a Rasha. And your mercy is limited if you don't help me. It's big. It's massive. It's humongous, your mercy. But if you can't help me because I'm evil, then it's limited by my evil. Well, then you're just like the other Avodah Zarahs because they also far out. But if you can help me, then you must be infinite. Your mercy must be infinite. Because the only reason you could save somebody like me is there's no limitations on your mercy at all. And Hashem said, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. There's no amount of evil you could do that'll stop me loving you because my love for you is unconditional. Manasseh. Chizkiyahu HaMelech took Klal Yisrael to the highest levels of religious observance, if you like using that religious observance. That ever happened. He was on the verge of becoming Mashiach. For a small technicality, the Midas Adin didn't accept his candidacy, and Hashem had to back off. He had a little pinprick of an issue, which we're not going to now. And Manasseh took Klal Yisrael where there wasn't a home that didn't have a Avodah Zarah in one generation. He took Klal Yisrael from that dag of just about Mashiach and plummeted him into the bots. And Hashem says, you're right. My love for you is unconditional. And you think he doesn't love you? I don't know anybody here that killed their grandparents and got rid of all the Sifrei Torah and put little fat men statues in the Aron HaKodesh of one of its love. And we think Hashem doesn't love us? He came back to Shalom. The whole story the Gemara discusses whether he did tshuva, whether he was accepted, whether he